Capes and Commentaries. God, I can't remember what number this is.
Number 11.
God, it acts as if like it's like 96. Like, no, it's only 11.
154.
Yeah, we'll get there soon enough, though. God knows we got plenty of content for episode 11 of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Tyler Baker, and Mr. Kennedy is here with us, of course.
Mr. Vacation Man. Day two of vacation. 12 more days left to go.
Which is why we're coming to you live on a Tuesday evening, yeah, as opposed to a Saturday. So thanks to vacation.
I wish we could do these more. Maybe I should just put in a bid to go to first shift.
I'm surprised you had, by this point in your life, you wouldn't want to do something a little earlier in the day.
No, I don't think I could. I just can't function early in the morning. I don't know what it is. I'll step outside and I'll just be like, oh, it's too bright. I need to go back to bed.
That means you good. McDonald's hang out in the morning with all the war vets and the angry senior citizens who want to bitch about the government.
See, I prefer Hardee's breakfast over McDonald's.
Well, you go to Hardee's and deal with those angry douchebags there, too.
But I'm never even really that hungry when I first wake up, either.
That's another problem, too. This is a guy who doesn't eat breakfast.
Most important meal of the day? Bullshit. Who needs it?
Shove it up your ass.
Yep.
But we are here to do part two of Batman Beyond's Rebirth. And as a fun little fun fact, me and Nathan had the luxury of meeting Batman himself this past weekend. Kevin Conroy, who was a very, very much a sweetheart of a guy, continues to keep that legacy alive of being someone who loves his fans and loves that people appreciate his work and see him as the, next to Michael Keaton, of course, is the definitive Batman.
Yeah, I would say it's argued, you know. So I would feel like some people would put him above Michael Keaton.
Yeah, and if they did, I wouldn't argue it.
I wouldn't either. Yeah. He seemed a little tired. Then again, it was we went on Sunday. I can't imagine how many people he met throughout the weekend and how much money he got from it as well.
Yeah, and knowing that it's hard to say whether or not he showed up when the gates opened that Sunday when the doors opened up, or if that he took a break and was coming back, and when he comes back, there's already a line built up to see him before he even comes back to his table. So
yeah, we had to wait about a good 20 minutes or so, probably.
It didn't feel that long. To see him like come back from Andrew, I'm like, oh my God, it's Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, and there was some good cosplay going on there too. We had a Poison Ivy and a Mr. Freeze, and then a Penguin from Batman Returns. It was good stuff.
Yeah, but and what's that?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I got the poster that he signed just hanging right here in front of me in the office. So
yeah, mine.
From now on, when we do these shows, it's just always going to be like right there. It's oh man, it's beautiful.
He's always with us there. I know. I just wish I had. I was so starstruck the whole weekend. I keep looking, like, God, I wish I'd asked this. And I wish I'd asked that. And I'm hoping that a lot of those guys will come back and gracious with their presence, so I can.
Well, that's the thing. If those Karate Kid guys come back, you know, with Cobra Kai season two, if it does like better than the first season, those prices might go up a little bit more.
Well, I'll just pay the price to get an autograph again or something. Just something so I can go up and pick their brains. And or last year, I was just like a starstruck Beatles fan where I was just screaming in my mind, you know, like the Beatles coming off the airplane. And I'm like screaming and, you know, if I had panties to throw, I'd throw them. You know, you're just that starstruck about it. So, but yes, we're here to do part two of Batman Beyond's Rebirth. And if you guys are ready, cue it up with us and we'll count down from three and we'll all hit play together.
Oh, yeah. Link down below, as always.
Okay.
So give that a click and watch along with us. If you're joining us on Podbean, you need to come over to the YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button, and hit the bell so you can catch us live for these things.
And if you watch us live, you can always take us on the road and download us on iTunes or on Podbean as well. We encourage the audio download more because that's what it really comes down to, not necessarily.
Yeah.
Hey, look at what Nathan's wearing, or look what color tank top I'm wearing.
Hey, I'll take whatever. I think the visual is kind of nice too because, I mean, you know, you always got your posters in the background. I think I'm going to work on hanging something on this door right here. I don't know what yet, but it'll probably end up being a 24 by 36, but definitely need to do something because everyone's like, "What, you're into My Little Pony?" I'm like, "No, it's not mine."
Lame. Yeah, you need to put stuff a little bit more masculine. back there. Like, how about a poster of like a beautiful swimsuit model with her ass sticking out, like she's got like a swimsuit with like a thong going up, and all you see is like her wet ass cheeks or something like that.
That'd be great. I don't think Emily would appreciate that too much.
Well, just tell it's just for the show. You don't have to keep it up all the time. It's just part of the, it's part of the backdrop.
Oh yeah, sure. No, yeah. I got a Jason Lives poster. I might hang right there. Got a Boogie Nights poster. I could always put that up there too. I'll figure something out.
You got lots of options there.
All right. Giving all us right. That countdown, huh?
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. Hopefully with Batman the Animated Series coming to Blu-ray this fall, hopefully Batman may not be too far behind.
Yeah. I noticed they dropped the price on that from... It wasn't by much, but Amazon dropped it from, I think it was about $112 down to $101. So I know eventually at some point it will go on sale and be well below $100. But
it'll be a while, though. But given that we're getting Sub-Zero, Mask of the Phantasm, special features in the entire series, I think that's pretty well worth the price for that. And I probably won't wait like I did with the 60s show. Like I just bought the whole set and like, cause I have to have it.
Yeah.
So I'll do that when, the animated series comes out this fall as well. I'll probably just order it and have it delivered.
So this first little bit here, we're just kind of getting a recap of what happened in part one in case you forgot from the last time that you joined us, which is very well possible. Cause I think we did that episode about 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. About 2 weeks ago.
And now we get this awesome intro, and every time we watch this, I'm probably always going to dance when that guy's dancing because I can't help it.
Yeah, I look forward to getting deeper into this particular show with the Rogues Gallery that shows up. You know, like a few months ago, I got into a kick of watching this and revisiting the Mr. Freeze episode, which was a lot of fun to revisit. Which wouldn't be I'd probably recommend that probably being the next one we do. When we come back to Batman Beyond.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Dancing the techno nightclubs of the future. So I just get caught up watching the intro here, too. But I was going to say, we touched on this before, but what pretty much brought you back to check out this series? I mean, was it the DVD release, essentially? Isn't that what you said before?
Yeah, but even then, when I bought the DVDs, they just kind of sat on the shelf for a while, like most things that I buy in media. So one day, I was just like, hey, I'm going to pop one of these discs in. And I was like, oh, wow, this is a lot better than I remember it being. Because as a kid, like I said before, I watched a little bit of it when it first came on and then just sort of dropped off. I was like, yeah, that's cool. What's that? Wrestling video games? Okay.
Yeah, they really do a good job, and that's why I feel like, you know, I'm really glad that these guys didn't make the show completely targeted towards kids. Like, they really took their time, especially with this, you know, two-parter, where they're really taking their time in building up this new incarnation of Batman, where Bruce Wayne's place is and all of this, and not just immediately jumping into, all right, here's a new Batman. It's the future, guys. Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
Like, they really take their time, and I can... You know, as a teenager or a young kid watching this stuff, you don't appreciate it as much. Of course, this was played on WGN as a movie, in a 1 hour block. But going back and rewatching it as an adult, you really do appreciate that Alan Burnett, Bruce Timm, Paul Dini, and those guys, for them to take their time and not just throw it out there, that they know they're doing this for kids, but they also doing a show of an interpretation of Batman that they would want to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really appreciate the attention to detail in introducing this world of characters, the world itself, and how a new Batman would come to be in this future Gotham.
See, I didn't know that George Takei did the voice for him.
What, for Fix?
Yeah. Which is,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, the voice for...
Well, George Takei's got a very, very good voice. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. I'm sure he's probably done several other acts of voice work as well, but I couldn't think of it right off. Because for a lot of times, I mean, there's certain voice actors that I've sought out to figure out who did what, like with the Batman animated series as well, because some of them are very prominent voices that you can't miss.
Powers, you know, it's Sherman Howard that does it. I actually met him at one of the conventions because he played Bub in Day of the Dead. And I wasn't really thinking about Batman Beyond at the time when I met him. And also, too, when I met him, I wasn't, like, in the best of places that year for that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about then, yeah. So I can't say I blame you for that one. But when we met Kevin, I asked him because it's not that it was obviously it wasn't a great deal to him, but he said I asked him about what it was like to play old Bruce Wayne, you know, current Bruce Wayne, young Bruce Wayne, and trying to find that change in tone. And he said it's just really just about playing around with the voice and trying to come up with something that fits. And he said he just enjoys the challenge because he's obviously someone that takes great pride in playing Batman and doesn't just want to phone it in, you know, if he's gonna do it right. And I haven't seen a bad performance by Kevin in anything. I may have not liked the feature that he was in, like Killing Joke, you know, but he still delivered and still is Batman and can play it, you know, no matter what. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the guy needs to be playing Batman all the time. I don't want to see, that's why I've never really taken to anybody. I mean, I know others like, and Will Friedle playing this Batman hits it because Will Friedle is a great voice actor and he really nails Terry McGinnis. And I like this too, that he takes off with the suit, and even though he gets a pretty good grasp on it, you make a point to show that he doesn't have it all nailed down because
they go out of their way to show that, like, he's not completely a natural yet.
Yeah, he's not proficient with it, but it's well that you could figure it out, and plus you don't have all the time to really focus on that. But showing that he's not that proficient in it, but well enough that, you know what, we can get the story going and not feel like we have to waste so much time on. Because we don't really want to see the hero bumbling around, because then it becomes what the Tom Hardy Venom movie looks like, bumbling around doing shit by accident. You know, and I like this too. You know,
yeah, this is kind of creepy and sinister. I mean, as it should be, but still, you know, to see it go this far in a cartoon. Yeah. I mean, obviously they don't show anything here, and it's just implied with his facial expressions.
And I like that because Derek is enjoying the fruits of his labor and seeing what his nerve gas can do. And I like the shot of Terry coming up to the window and placing his fingers on there to listen. It just looks cool. I like that bit of technology in the suit. And it just, the more we watch this, the more I'm like, God, this would look so great as a movie. But of course, Warner Brothers with their track record right now would find some sort of way of just, you know, shoveling a big pile of shit all over it. And they make me regret that. Why did they do it? Why did they even greenlit a movie? Just give it the cartoon. But it looks good. It's fun to think about.
You never played any of the Arkham games that came out on PS3 and 360, did you?
Nah, just because I just never. I remember Matt and Jordan got me one of the Arkham games, and I just had a hard time getting into just playing games in general.
That makes sense. But also a shame because Arkham Asylum was just a really fantastic game. I didn't get as much into the sequels, but that first game was very, very well done.
Oh, and I don't deny, because I've watched plenty of footage of it and everything, and I think it's great that it was such a popular series of games and was so in-depth with the story and getting all the voice actors back and how it looked. I just always appreciate the attention to detail that Batman's been given in certain forms of media, not so much in recent films, of course, but overall, I think Batman's been given a lot of fair treatment over the years. I'm not a big fan of other incarnations, but these guys, the Tim universe, as I refer to it as, is about as definitive as it's ever going to get, I think, in terms of quality, storytelling, character portrayals, and expanded the universe with the Batman Beyond universe. I mean, you really feel like you could have an infinite amount of stories to tell in current current day and then moving into the future.
Aha.
That was cool. Just in time for fall. I'm like, yeah, that's a cool line.
Seasonal puns.
Yeah. And it works because it sounds badass. And I
like this part right here. It's like Batman. He's been off the grid for so long that
yeah. It seems natural that they would like, okay, there's somebody that's Batman. Like,
Batman's not back. Ha ha ha. Little do you know.
And it does carry on the hard ass attitude of Bruce Wayne during this, where he shuts down the suit and is listening to Terry get his ass kicked, and just really plays with, like, he is still at this old age, like, you're going to play by my rules and I will let you pretty much face death, that if you're going to do this, we're going to do it my way. And I appreciate that. I mean, it makes Bruce Wayne a real prick, but you can't argue with the fact that I didn't give you permission to take this suit. So you can't be too upset with Bruce's
I would be pissed too, but you know, if it's
tough love and you're going to work with me. Yeah. I mean, Robin, you know, Dick Grayson, Tim Drake, Barbara Gordon, I'm sure they all went through it at some point. Obviously Nightwing did, cause he got tired of Batman's shit. Just the suit itself. I mean, it's so simple. God, and it's so effective.
And I always like the music during these action bits.
Yeah. Christopher Drake, I believe it's the musician or the artist behind all the music. And God, he did some fantastic scores for these episodes. I mean, just action sequences all sound great. Even moments of drama, like he nails the mood of the show. And the music's easy to listen to, like, by itself. Like, you don't feel like you have to be watching the show to appreciate the music. It's fun to listen to on its own.
And here we go. So Bruce hit the button to paralyze the suit. And as you were saying, we're going to reach a point where he's just like, he's willing to let him die until, you know, his dog kind of looks at him and is like, hey, man, you shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Because I think it's also a reckoning for Bruce. Like, look, I got to be willing to, if I want to carry on justice, I got to be willing to accept change. And obviously, him being Batman, why would he be so quick to embrace change, to let someone else take up the mantle that he made for himself and carried on a legacy that no one else could ever, you know, fathom to continue on with? So it would be hard for Bruce to accept that and to think that anybody else could do what he did. Badass. And it really works too with the suit having so many gadgets, like, you know, with Batman's utility belt, you know, smoke bombs, batarangs, you name it. But with the suit and it being in the future, you feel like you can get away with having so many gadgetries throughout the suit, from internally weapons that fire, the rocket boosters, the wings. I mean, it all just works so well.
Right.
I mean, it's like, because of the future, you can really get away with it and just have a lot of fun, but not make it too much. You're like, okay, this is getting a little ridiculous here with what he can do. Like, it's not out of control with the gadgets.
Hey, I built the place. Go here.
I just love the slick design of this. It just looks so cool.
I want to say I do have one of the, what was the line that DC had?
The DC Universe?
Yeah, I think I have this. I can't remember if.
I got it.
I think I do too, but I might have the unmasked, like he's in the suit, but you got the Terry McGinnis head sculpt.
Oh, I got the better one then.
Yeah, I need to check and see which one I do have. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I do have one
of the batarangs. Like, God, it looks awesome.
You're going to have to go dig it out and put it on the shelf, man.
Yeah, I didn't have enough room to keep all my DC Universe figures out. So that was one of the things I did. That and my Marvel Legend figures, I had to box them all up because my place is just not enough room to show everything that I would like to have on display. That and my Batman Beyond Return of the Joker poster. I've got it framed, but I don't have it out. Yeah, I look forward for us to do a commentary on that at some point as well. I'm not too far from the creation of Blight coming up here soon. With some more kick-ass action sequences here. I love the look of Power security guards here. I mean, God, that would look great in a movie as well. Looking a lot like future stormtroopers. I like the effect of the suit being able to keep Terry like holding held up like a bat like that. Very, very cool.
Oh, wait, there he is.
I mean, even though the cartoon was not very good, it would just be a fun team up to see Spider-Man Unlimited because I love the suit so much. The cartoon was not great. I think most fans know that. The visual style of it looks so good, and to see that side by side with Batman from Batman Beyond would look pretty badass in a crossover of some kind. Even though Spider-Man doesn't go to the future, he goes to outer space, which is ludicrous. It's like a crazy world. Not that Spider-Man hasn't been in outer space before, but the story they're trying to tell. I think it would still look pretty cool though. I mean, I had to ask Kevin Sharp to like a commission of Batman Beyond and Spider-Man Unlimited. Be pretty badass.
Yeah, if he'll even be willing to do that kind of thing for you now.
Oh yeah, since he's repented his sins of saying Beastman looks terrible in the '87 movie. I thought about this too at some point, having him do a commission of Batman Beyond, but and then kind of do it like a movie poster with Michael Keaton on there as Bruce Wayne and do an older Tom Lee Jones' Two-Face.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, not Tom Lee Jones, Billy Dee Williams. Because I still want to see Billy Dee Williams' Two-Face.
There we go. The beginning of the end for Powers.
Yeah. And I was always kind of bummed that we didn't see as much Blight as I thought we would have in the show. Like, he does show up. And notably in the Mr. Freeze episode, but it's just like he was such an awesome looking character that when I saw him for the first time, I'm like, oh man, like we're setting him up to kind of like be the powerhouse villain of the show, much like how the Joker was, not the Joker, but you know, in terms of like a flagship villain, I was led to believe that Blight would be in it a hell of a lot more overall. Even though the Joker is not in every episode, but he's in a pretty good amount of them.
I wonder if that's a thing where they're like, you know what? We got to bring him back in. Here's the Joker.
Which I was fine with the Joker's legacy being carried on by gangs, you know, and in Return of the Joker, it's, you know, as a kid, I never quite bought the whole plot and device of how the Joker managed to live on through Tim Drake. I thought that was kind of a bit much. But as I got older, I'm like, you know what? I buy it all because Mark Hamill back as the Joker. He looks great. Taking on Terry, I'm like, I'll let it. I mean, it's just one of those things, like, you can't hold on to it. Especially the backstory with the death of Joker is so damn good as well, too. Like, the whole movie itself is so good. I'll accept it and not even worry about it. And pretty much see Fix meet his demise here too, like not afraid to. You don't necessarily have to see it, but clearly it's implying that yeah, he does not make it out. I mean, even so, the window crack. It's like implying that he probably could have swam out, but look how deep that ship's going.
Yeah,
yeah. It's like chances are he's dead. The suit right underneath the bed there, and Terry. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I didn't even notice the suit under the bed.
But it makes sense because, they did such a great job of making him such a relatable character. Like, I mean, even watch this as an adult, I don't have to be a teenager to find Terry a relatable character. Like, the problems he's going through, his dealings with Bruce, like, having to break dates. I mean, he's a lot like Spider-Man in this, you know, where he is a teenager and has this new responsibility. Like, you want to be Batman, you got to make sacrifices because that's what Bruce made a career out of, is making sacrifices and putting on a guise, but when it's time to work, the real face has to come into play.
Yeah.
Go for this, go for that. I just love Kevin Conroy's portrayal as older Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this part right here to end the episode. Well, almost end the episode.
Like, even as an old man, Bruce Wayne is still super imposing.
And there we go. Bruce has finally accepted his successor.
Yep.
But and we're not done.
So damn well. Yes, no. Yeah. God. See, it's like Blight would look so cool on screen. I like the shadowing on the radiation suits.
Yeah.
Really plays up the implication of this is not going to end well. And definitely with a touch of Joker, like he's lost his mind here with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I like the laugh. That's a good look.
It is a badass look. It's simple too. I always wanted the figure of Blight when the toy line came out, but I never did get around to getting the figure of him.
And credits.
A hell of a beginning. Hell of a rebirth.
Yeah, they should just take that element and just make that the first film, you know?
Yeah.
If Blight, they do a live action, just, yeah.
Michael Keaton back as Batman or Bruce Wayne, the suit. I'd cast an unknown. Don't cast some. Oh, man, he's really popular with kids on the Disney Channel. Bullshit. No. You cast someone who's an actor that's lean and in shape, has got chops, but has no like previous like record of like, oh, we know him from the Disney Channel. We know him from Nickelodeon or some, you know, shit like that. You know, do like the whole Christopher Reeve thing. You know,
but it'll never happen.
No, it'll never happen. But it's fun food for thought. It's like thinking about what happened at the end of the thing or what happened in the Norwegian camp and John Carpenter's The Thing, even though they made a sequel / soft reboot / whatever the hell you want to call it. In some cases, or like with Alien, in my mind, Prometheus never happened. So it's just fun to think about what happened. So in my mind, Batman Beyond 2 is just fun to think about. And I still will always carry a flag for Michael Keaton to carry on that mantle, because damn it, the man deserves it, and he really needs to come back and get that third Batman film that we did not get, that we were shortchanged on.
It won't happen. It's too good of an idea.
I know. Yeah,
DC still.
I would love to sit in on some of these board meetings when they're deciding to, or they're hearing pitches, or they're sitting around throwing around ideas. Well, we got this property. I guess we know. Screw that one up, and then blame the fans and say they didn't want to see it. But we can make, you know, some. Just, I know it's a business, but God, I really wish they would just get some smarter people in charge and you know, make some damn good movies. They did it before,
right?
You know, but
yeah, no, I feel like it's almost too far gone now. They would just
My heart.
It would have to be like a complete just reconstruction and just be like, hey, you know, like that 6-year period right here where it was just not good, don't worry about that, here's this new shit we're doing. But I don't think it's gonna happen.
You know what, too, and if they, you know, hypothetically speaking, if they decided to do a Batman Beyond film, they wouldn't have to worry about all the screw-ups from the Zack Snyder films and stuff like that, or even the Nolan films. It's like a fresh start. But casting Keaton is a fun nod to the first two Batman films, and I think he'd be universally accepted by all Batman fans. And you don't have to worry about, I mean, you could even kind of come up with your own kind of backstory as to how Keaton got to where he was, and you wouldn't have to feel like you had to reference those films if you just wanted a clean slate. But you bring Keaton in as a fun nod to being Batman and just start from scratch and build up a brand new world. using what these guys did with the animated series, with Joker's being a gang, and bring in some of the various villains that showed up throughout the show. And, of course, Blight being your big flagship villain and Derek Powers. Oh, God, it's a gold mine of good ideas.
But, Tyler, it makes a little too much sense. And we've been joined by a special guest, one of our co-hosts on our other shows that we do. He says you're so dark and he's frightened, but he also wants to know if you're being cheap and trying to save money on your light bill.
No, I got all the lights on here. I just had to, I've just perfected the lighting here, because all actors need perfect lighting and stuff like that. You know what? I kind of like having this
that
dark aspect.
That
on me.
So tan that he starts to just blend in with the dark lighting anyway.
Yeah.
Whereas me, I would be sitting there and it would be like, yeah, I would just be glowing because I'm so white.
Well,
and pasty.
And Joe hides behind a mask too. So, I don't want to hear, I hide in darkness. Nathan hides out in plain sight and Joe hides behind a mask, you know, so we all have our guises. That's how I like to look at it there.
Right on. Yeah, so, but, for those that have joined us live, because JSP has also joined us, we're going to do episode 12 here shortly. It's going to be the first episode of X-Men.
Hell yes. It's a long time coming.
So if you're joining this on sort of an archive, make sure to stick around. Jump over to the next one, because we're filming them back to back.
Yeah, just like, you know, Lord of the Rings films. We're doing them all back to back here.
Man, that had to have been a pain in the ass. All the Lord of the Rings stuff just all at once. Ugh. Did they do movie and then here's the next movie, then here's there, do you think they did elements of like, well, let's, since we got this here, let's film this piece from this movie and then this piece from another movie?
I imagine I never really dug too deep into that whole scenario, but I'd assume, like, probably to save money and be more cost efficient with your time and the actors you have. I'm sure they probably shot a lot of the Saruman stuff together and a lot of the orc footage together. I'm sure they probably made the best use of the locations they're at, the actors they had on hand that day. But yeah, I'd imagine it was probably shot film to film, but probably a little bit here for Two Towers, a little bit here for Turn of the King or whatever. But a big gamble, but certainly one that paid off. And I wouldn't recommend, you know, other studios trying to do that, because it is such a gamble to go ahead and start throwing in all this cash and for three films and the first didn't even come out yet. So,
yeah, that probably definitely wouldn't even work today with how bad some of these franchise films are these days.
Yeah, well, because they don't really want to take the time. They even if it's a property that people aren't that well known with, and they'll sink so much damn money into it and not really make sure that the special effects look believable, and you got someone that can carry a scene, whether they're relatively unknown or not, you know, it's just, I think it's just a sign of times in Hollywood. You know, it's not that we're all always looking at films that are, oh, well, back in my day, we're like, dude, back in our day, it was like in the 90s. And granted, that's over it's 20 years ago, but still, you know, I just feel like people today have, everything's changing, but it's all changing for the worse. I mean, who hasn't said something like that at some point or another? You know, that's why I'm still glad we got quality animated series like this. You know, we can just give our, you know, two middle fingers to what's in theaters right now. Stay home and watch quality stuff like this.
Or just go Redbox it.
Or that too. You know.
Just spend $2, rent the Blu-ray, then take it back the next day.
There you go.
Man, yeah, so, we like somehow we ended up going on a tangent. Our usual deal.
Yeah, it's inevitable. Even though we didn't go on too much of a tangent, well, yeah, we did at the beginning. I almost thought we were just going to jump right into it, because like we don't need it, like, you know, prep like discussion. We just kind of jump into it. But hell, we end up, you know, rambling for the second part here. So
yeah, commentary with some dash of some other shit. We'll just call them mini podcasts.
There you go. Mini casts. Mini pods.
But, thanks to these couple guys, especially our co-host, Rotten Amato, for joining us in the chat. And you guys stay tuned for the next one that we're about to do. And those of you that aren't watching us live, make sure that you hit that subscribe and hit that bell so you are notified whenever we go live, and hit the links in the description below, like that Facebook page and iTunes. Make sure you look under Pop Culture Network if you want to find us on iTunes.
Yeah, leave us a review. Let us know we're doing a good job. Do you like what we have to say? Are we full of shit?
You know, is the light up? Is the lighting too dim? You know.
Yeah, is Nathan's too bright? I mean,
You know what? I should have done that too. That way, we're just both in the dark.
Yeah. With Batman, like we're all dwelling in darkness here in our own bat caves.
But yeah, thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll see you on episode 12.
Cool.